listener production.
The wheel had not been screwed on properly. It had sheared through one of the screws because it was loose, and that had then impacted the strength of the other screws, and the entire wheel came off as we were probably going at about 100 kilometres per hour and bounced away into a field.
He's laughing at the end, but that is actually a very scary set of circumstances. And it all comes back to the simple notion of good maintenance and why maintenance is important for safety when we're out there on the roads. Hi, everybody. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
Welcome to the Keep Your Wheels On podcast, where you're going to hear from real people talking about the mistakes that either resulted in them crashing their car or narrowly avoiding a situation that could have been much worse. And along the way, how you can do your best to avoid ending up in a similar situation. We've outlined the theme. We've got another special guest who's going to join us today. Our guest has been a part of the Listener family on the Grill podcast, which you may have heard. He came to fame through the movie Kenny. He's been in the Bourne movies as well. But in addition to that, he has a fabulous little collection of cars and motorbikes. He's a proper motoring enthusiast and he can steer a truck too. So he's all about understanding, respecting, which has been a subject of this podcast series, the truck drivers on our roads. Hello, Shane Jacobson. Welcome to the pod, mate. How are you?
Thanks, mate. I'm great. I'm great. Hi, Lise.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
Yeah, good. I think it's such a great ep to bring me in on just hearing that little intro because my nickname at school should have been the loose wheel nut. It's so funny when I was listening to that story because I'm thinking, does he mean steering wheel or wheel? Because I've had both of them happen in my world because I had a girlfriend and remained friends even after we weren't together, but she's the only human I know that swerved to miss a cat. Literally, the steering wheel shaft snapped in her hand and she no longer had control of the car. So that smashed into her house. Another thing I did is we've said you've got to keep your car serviced. You've also got to not be an idiot, and this is my intro for myself. I had a mate who wanted to do up a HQ and we were towing it, but when we purchased the car off a guy, it was an old wreck that we were going to pick up. We grabbed the wheel brace each and I said, I'll do the left-hand side, you do the right-hand side. We had to put wheels on it because the thing was on blocks. We didn't steal it, Rusty, relax. And when we started towing the thing down the road, all of a sudden the back right-hand wheel went past me. And I said, he said, did you do up the back wheel nuts? And I said, no, you were doing the back wheel nuts. So I've had wheels snap in my hands and wheels come off cars beside me.
So there you go. Already we are heading down the path of either involving an expert or making sure you're doing the job right. So the story you heard at the start of the podcast is someone who literally didn't do what the very title of this podcast is, right? The
wheels
literally, as Shane's just talked about, came off the car. Exactly, Lee. So it's normally, and obviously what you don't want. So let's meet the person behind this story and find out a little bit more about what happened.
Hi, my name's Sam, and I was driving on a highway when my front left wheel came off, causing the car to veer off the road. I first got behind the wheel and started driving probably a little late. I was probably about 18 when I got my L plates. I started late to driving because I just had really nice parents who drove me everywhere. I lived regionally. We didn't have a spare car, so learning to drive required me to be using my parents' car, and that wasn't always available because they had to be at work. So it sort of probably pushed things back a little. I don't think there was a lot of drive to get my own car because they were driving otherwise. So it was quite easy to just be like, well, I don't want the stressful times of me driving and they're offering to drive, so I'll just keep being a passenger. The first car I got, I was quite lucky. It was my grandma's 1991 Toyota Camry sedan. She could no longer drive, so she sold it to me for $1,000. I like to think of myself as quite a good driver. I would probably be described and have been described by a lot of my friends as a nana driver. And I'm quite cautious, still have my hands at 10 and 2, and probably less likely to pull out into a gap if I don't think I've got the time, even if it's a bit questionable and I probably could. around the time of the accident, I was living in Jindabyne, and that meant if you wanted anything, yeah, you had to drive to Canberra, which was about a 2.5 hour drive. But it also meant, you know, if you wanted to go see anything, you're normally driving through windy roads, through national parks, up the mountains, or out remote. So yeah, there was a fair bit of regional rural driving. I would say I'm very confident at driving on country roads. It's pretty straightforward. Obviously, I'm still a nana driver and I play it safe, but I know what I'm doing. I know what to expect. I've done a lot of driving up and down highways and freeways and weird regional access roads. I was the sort of person who, yeah, got my car serviced quite regularly. My dad taught me the basics of, you know, checking your oil, but beyond that, I was pretty reliant on mechanics, and I trust it to people who literally studied and work in that industry and know what they're doing.
So firstly, tick for getting the car regularly serviced and buy someone who we hope has all the right credentials to do the job properly. The Camry, modern classic. Let's just open the whole discussion here between the three of us on just the importance of maintaining your vehicle. Lise, you're a mum. Just for your own safety, you want to know that those wheels are right every time they climb aboard, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. The whole point of this podcast, keep your wheels on. But we actually really genuinely want people to keep their wheels on. And we need you to keep your wheels and tyres maintained properly, your tread, your tyre pressures, all that stuff. You need to know. It's really basic. And, you know, it can come across quite boring, but it's really important.
Shane, is there much of a difference between, obvious question here, older car and newer car? They do need different things, don't they?
It's a conversation that comes up in pubs every now and then. I've got friends who go, you're a car guy, do you regularly service your vehicle? First thing I tell them is I only put people I like or love in my car. Like if you were going to sell a car to an enemy, sure, give it to them with no tread. But I only put people I love or like in my cars, and therefore I want them to be safe. And, you know, for the most part, it's my family. So there's two parts with servicing, which is your eyes can do a service. I've always said your eyes are your first point of call, which is just look at your tread. I went and had lunch with my wife the other day, and I don't know why, but the first two cars I walked past to get to her office, both of them needed new tread on their tyres, and I thought they probably don't know. I don't know why I looked at the tread on strangers' tyres, but I'm used to doing it on my own car. And as I walked back out, I said to my wife, look at both those cars, and we live in Mount Macedon, as you know, Rusty, and it's windy roads and it's wet up here. So I'm looking at two cars in an area that's an affluent area, you know, they could probably afford the tyres, they were nice cars, and I'm like, the very thing that puts that car in contact with the road just has a greater chance of coming off a corner, and most likely they'll have their family in the car, or even if it's just themselves. So I've always said your eyes are your first mechanic, which is when you're walking past your car, check the tyres, check the tyre pressures, and the same thing, as we know, oil's one thing and water, I mean, that'll make the engine go bang. We don't want that because that gets costly, but tyres are the first one, and you're just servicing your car. I mean, give it to the experts. You don't have to be an expert yourself. None of us do our own medical treatments. None of us operate on ourselves, you know what I mean? So give it to an automotive surgeon. They're called a mechanic.
Why do people sometimes ignore things that need attention? Obviously, cost of living is a thing for people at the moment and so on. I mean, if you saw an oil leak or a water leak like that, your car needs attention for safety, and let alone the impact, the cost that it could have if you don't take action there.
See, I think most of the time it is actually a cost issue. It's never a fun spend. You know, when you go and spend $1,000 buying flights to go somewhere for fun, putting tyres on your car or going getting a wheel alignment and balance or whatever, it's not really fun unless you're somebody like Shane that actually does really like that stuff. But most normal people, that's not a fun thing to do. And, you know, in many states, well, I know Victoria, for example, we don't actually have to have a roadworthy every year when you get your registration. So people don't actually think to look at their tyres. So that car that you bought from your grandma, if she was in Victoria, I mean, when you bought it, you transfer things, that needs a roadworthy, but you could have that car for 5 years and not have to have a roadworthy on it. Those tyres could be as bald as.
And the answer's in the name. It's roadworthy.
Yeah.
Like it says it so clearly, doesn't it? Because everyone says roadworthy and you go, well, it's actually, it means it's worthy to be on the road. That's for good reason.
How can we learn about this stuff, right? I mean, you love cars and bikes. You're often around them in your childhood. You had a passion for them and so on. Not everyone has that, right? But there are probably some fundamentals that we really should know when we hit the road, shouldn't we?
Yeah, and it is changing its tire. Even now, some of the, I think, younger generation now aren't as interested in cars as we were. Mm. My children do not have a single memory of standing on the side of a road waiting for a service vehicle. Mm. And therefore, I think they think these things just never stop, that they are a perpetual engine of some sort, but they're not. The other thing I've always said to people is cars have a bit of a happy knack. If you don't look after them or service them, they have a bit of a happy knack of letting you down at the worst time, which is on an extremely hot day, even if you've just not checked the water. And again, if you don't do those sort of things, I know cars have warnings now, but a lot of people don't pay attention to warnings. And I'm sure we've all got friends. You get in their car and the dashboard looks like a disco and you go, you know, these are warnings, yeah? And they go, is that what that means? And you go, anything in this car that holds liquid, you need all of them.
Yep.
But on really hot days when, you know, and we've had it growing up as we knew in the older cars we all drove. Sorry to confess that all of us are slightly over the age of 21. But, you know, that when you didn't look at your water in your radiator, as you know, your car overheated and you were stuck somewhere between the middle of nowhere and the middle of somewhere else. And you were stuck on the side of the road in the heat, you didn't have water. Or, you know, if you don't have antifreeze, little things like that. I've done it. I've been to the snow. I wasn't thinking of the engine and the engine froze and then I couldn't get off the mountain. Like, the other reason it's worth paying attention to your car's health is because it will probably let you down at the worst time.
So there you go. A car being maintained incorrectly or not often enough can cause issues. So back to Sam's story. Great example. Let's find out what happened next.
At the time of the accident, I was about 24, 25. I was driving in my friend's car. There's obviously a motorway between the Snowy Mountain area and Canberra. We'd actually driven from Jindabyne to Canberra for a festival. They had driven the journey from Jindabyne to Canberra and I was returning the favour and doing the leg back from Canberra to Jindabyne. So my friend had two cars. This one was sort of like their get around, get things done Subaru Forester. Pretty reliable car, pretty good condition. They were a big fan of cars and they took care of both. We're on the way of driving back on a Sunday afternoon, probably around 5 p.m. We'd started to hear a bit of a grinding sound, but we were 45 minutes into the drive and there wasn't a lot more we could do other than just power on. It was either turn back or probably do the same distance to get home where we knew our mechanics. So it was that sort of volume where you're like, this is not good, but I don't think we're in immediate danger. It just seemed to be low and to the left of the car, but I mean, that could have been anywhere and anything. We didn't know enough about cars to know where exactly the sound was coming from. So we'd probably been driving along for about another 45 minutes. As we were probably going at about 100 kilometres per hour, what we now know happened is the wheel had not been screwed on properly. My friend had another friend help her out with replacing a tyre. And that tyre that was incorrectly put on was the reason that everything happened. It had sheared through one of the screws because it was loose, and that had then impacted the strength of the other screws, and the entire wheel came off and bounced away into a field. This caused our car, obviously, the front left-hand side to just drop suddenly. And that caused the car to just veer off the road at 100 kilometres an hour.
So, first of all, hand up from G Rust. This has happened to me before. Thankfully, not at the same speed. And it was on a major northbound road in Sydney. We were doing a bit of maintenance on it ourselves, I should say, and the left or passenger side rear was clearly not done up properly. The wheel nuts were not done up tight enough. And I had that horrible moment when I realised that wheel was overtaking me and the behaviour of the car changed. It wanted to lean down at the back end of the car. The grinding sound is probably alarm number one. It happened quite quickly for me. You need to be in a situation, guys, don't you, where music's not too loud, definitely no distractions, listen to your car. And if it's making a horrible sound like that and it's coming from a particular area like that, you need to pull over and have a look, don't you?
Yeah, if a baby's crying, there's probably something wrong. That's what we used to say. Like, if it's making noise. No.
That's great.
The same thing, hands up. I've had a car that wasn't my fault, but myself and a mate, Dave Pittman, who Rusty knows, we were racing a Golf GTI and we had a guy who was our kind of pit guy. He was our little team mechanic. And so I was the problem, he told me. So we rotated the wheels after the first day of the Tarmac Challenge. I was telling jokes to the mechanic while he was running around with a rattle gun and he had a hand done up the front. So we did a hill climb, downhill climb event, I think at Mount Cotton, competed in it and with the wheels only hand tight. And driving the car back to the garage at the end of the event day, the front tyre came off, rolled down a road at speed and took out the back of a four-wheel drive. Just thank goodness it didn't hit a person. So same thing, I've had a tyre fly off a car. When we realise what weapons cars are, like that tyre's coming off a car, as you know, like that call we just heard, at 100, if they're not ready for it, and as we know, he said he has his hands at 10 and 2, but we're not there all the time. After an hour into the drive, you've got one arm because, you know, you got the music up and the window down and you're fat arming it. If that wheel comes off at speed like that and you're not ready for it and that thing careers off, I mean, you can hit another car, another person at 3, and it gets pretty serious pretty quick. So that's the other thing I've said to my kids. Cars are a form of transport, but they're also an enormous weapon. It's not just what happens to your car, it's what your cars can do to other people or other people's cars.
Yep, and Lise, to come to you here now, listening to the vehicle, what it's talking about, what it's saying, what it's feeling, what it's doing in your hands. If it's doing something that doesn't feel smooth as you would normally feel it on a daily drive, there is potentially something wrong here.
I've always been lucky around, having a lot of people around me that, you know, were pretty competent with cars. But I remember one time I did get in trouble. I had a company car working at a race team. And something or other happened to one of the cars. And they said, Lace, didn't you hear that? Didn't you hear it? And so I got in trouble for that. So then I was trying to maintain this, okay, I'm going to be really vigilant and, you know, really listen to the car. Anyway, so I ended up getting one of the engine guys. I said, oh, look, I'm pretty sure there is something wrong with the car. Anyway, he took it for a drive and apparently I had too much crap in the glove box and it was all rattling around and that was the issue.
Well, credit to you. You listened. You went and sought some additional help. Okay, that's a very embarrassing set of circumstances,
yeah.
Right? But well done. You took action. And to come back to something Shane said at the top of the pod here today, that little walk back from lunch when you'd been out with your wife and so on, you noticed someone's tyres were either down on pressure or perhaps they were looking on the balder side. You got to look at those little things on a you know, every day or so basis just to see what things are like before you jump in and get going, don't you?
The other thing is too, my sister-in-law only just recently, her car gives her a warning now when the tyres are going down. She didn't know what pressure to pump them up to. So many people, I think, do opt for the default, oh, cars, I don't know anything about them, I leave that to a mechanic or whatever. But there are some simple things, as we know, checking the gauges, but also just knowing, you know, I mean, 32 PSI used to be the old way of looking at it. You can speak, you know, look at the book and check what your car's recommendation for tyre pressure is. But just knowing that, my sister-in-law said I wouldn't know. She said she would just sit there and do it until the tyre looks like it was right. And as we know, if the car's parked on a bit of an angle at 32 PSI, the tyre can look like it's a touch flat if there's a bit of weight on that wheel. So she would just keep going, you know, potentially until the thing went pop. That was her confession. She's not that silly. Mm. Another thing for maintenance too, I just recently brought a little battery-operated tyre pump, tiny little thing, and they're really affordable now that I've got in the car just in case we're halfway between nowhere and somewhere else nowhere. with a bit of a leak that you could limp your way there, you know what I mean? If it's a slow leak that I can actually get some air in the thing, because we do long distances as a family. Even one of those, they're really affordable now. Like, you know, 10 years ago, if you said get some kind of mobile pump in your car, people would go, I can't afford that. But these little battery-operated ones actually work pretty well now.
Yeah, they do. And that's actually a great point too. You can go to lots of different outlets, automotive outlets, and even get things like a can of foam that you can use as a temporary patch-up if you do have a leak or a deflation of some kind that might get you, if you're on a rural drive or something, to the next town to get it looked at.
They're also a great gag to do on your friend's runners too.
The subject matter around, you know, just being sound with your car mechanically might sound like a bland subject, but where this is leading with Sam, our other guest, is to the point that if you don't look after the car, right, things can go badly wrong. So let's continue this story. We've just learned about the wheel that's flown off down the highway. What happened next?
Everything sort of happened all at the same time. There was a thunk, a drop. It all went really fast, but I remember being absolutely terrified because we were moving at 100 kilometers per hour. We were veering off the road. The car was warping in terms of dimensions because one side had just dropped suddenly. The way I sort of handled it was to go with it. I know that if I pulled back too much, fighting the momentum could have caused things to get worse. So we sort of went with it and were just lucky that it didn't grind too suddenly that it caused a flip in that respect as well. We were reasonably lucky when the accident happened in that there wasn't anything major on the side of the road. There was the classic bit of space in a ditch that you get on Australian regional roads. So we did veer off and then sort of slide down, and then that side of the car sort of just dug into the dirt. It honestly probably wasn't until a few seconds later, until we'd stopped and looked forward, that we could actually still see the tire bouncing away into a field because it had that much momentum. The scary bit for us was that at the exact moment of the accident, there was a truck coming from the other direction. So if it had been the tire on the other side, we would have just veered straight off into the front of the truck. For the journey we were on, there's a lot of different sections. So people have done the drive. Yeah, there's the open highway, but then once you start getting into the mountains, it gets very windy and there can be sudden drop-offs and trees and all kinds of stuff. So it could have been even more dangerous in that respect if it had happened maybe 45 minutes later. We found out in the aftermath that the damage to the axle was so significant that the car itself was actually still written off.
Wow. So firstly, could have been a lot worse had a truck come along or something along those lines. We're not going to sit here and tell you the exact driving technique to apply in this set of circumstances, because pieces of road are different, circumstances are different. Lisa will tell you about the importance of proper driver training, and I think Shane would endorse that too, and how that can help you realize what a car might be doing in a particular set of circumstances and to react. Probably the overarching thing I think you'll both agree on is stop, use the brakes, get the car if you can to a position of safety, arrest that speed. If you've lost that wheel and the brakes are not impacted by that, come off the throttle, brake the car, stop the car safely if at all possible. That apply the brake.
As you said, it depends on, you know, every circumstance is different. But when it comes down to it, 98% of time, if you're going to have an accident and it's not looking good when you've only got three wheels, yeah, you just need to stop. You need to slow that car down. If you're going to hit something, hit it as slow as possible. Get on the brake and try and retard the speed as much as possible.
Shane, you rely on people to, with your busy work life and the various things that you are doing. I know you love cars yourself, but I'm sure there are people that help you get it serviced. You do work with the Victorian Automotive Chamber of Commerce. Picking a reputable repairer that is properly accredited is one of the first things that we could instruct our listeners to do.
100%, mate. And there's a few ways you can do it. VACC, you know, have a bunch of mechanical workshops that are very proud to wear their banner. And if you were inconceivably to have a problem with one of them, you can always report back to VACC. So they're like a governing body. They keep their eye on their members, if you will. I've always thought it's a good idea. The rumour wheel spins faster than the rear tyre in a rally car, you know what I mean? So if you speak to locals about who they go to, it'll get to a point that you'll find there's a common mechanic that's been in the area for a while and has built up trust amongst the community. And, you know, I'm not saying that will work everywhere, but for the most part, I've always done that when I've moved to a new area. Sometimes I've moved too far away from mechanics I've used. I've always asked locals, give it to them. And, you know, people do think that mechanics do replace bits unnecessarily. The truth is you do want new spark plugs, you do want fresh oil, you do want all that. And the point is that they go, I mean, there's nothing better than going to the doctor and having them check you out and then go, not a single skin cancer. I'm happy to pay to come home having nothing done to myself. So in a weird way, that's the same with cars. They'll replace a few things, but there could be 20 other things, and quite often there is many other things they will check just to make sure they're safe. So if you get a bill for replacing four things, they'll probably check 25 things whilst your car's been in there. It's just they don't give you a list of the things that are okay.
You mentioned before about, you know, endorsed or authorised repairers, VACC, MTA, people like that and so on. We've got great tools in our hands nowadays when we're not driving. Look at reviews. Look at what customers are saying and so on about some of these repairers too.
Yeah, and know what you're looking for too. If someone's complaining they felt that the guy was a little bit rude to them, that doesn't mean they're a bad mechanic. And sometimes they go, they can be a little bit costly. That's true. I don't want to go to a $2 dentist. I still find it amazing people go to Bali to get their tattoos at some market, and I go, maybe go somewhere that, you know, has a little bit more experience. You know, there are great ones in Asia, but of course my friends show me photos of where they've got it. I found this really cheap guy down an alley, and I go, well, if you went down an alley, I'm sure he was cheap. So, you know, if they're complaining about price and they're complaining about the person's temperament, sure, we like to give business to good, nice people, but that doesn't mean they're a bad mechanic either. Some of the best mechanics I know are incredibly grumpy people. Lisa could speak to that better than I could. She's been surrounded by the racing world her whole life.
I've worked in race teams. I know a lot of very grumpy ones.
But often they're the most thorough people that you will meet, and that is what we want with our cars when we hit the road on a daily basis. We don't want, folks, regrets. No regrets, Shane. Thank you very much. The upkeep on a car is something that you do need to budget for, Lisa and Shane, isn't it? I mean, if you can't afford to do that sort of stuff properly, you do need to sit and have a good ask about whether you should be buying that car or owning that car.
I mean, all teenagers learn everything on YouTube now anyway, don't they? So you could actually at least learn how to do your oil, your water, your tyres, you know, all those basic things.
And not only that, there's a thing that I have found to be true all across Australia and, in fact, probably across the world, and that is people who know something about something cannot wait to share that knowledge with you because it makes them feel good that they know something you don't. If you walk to anyone or approach anyone, you could approach a stranger who's got their head under a bonnet of a car. If you walk up to them and go, oh, you like cars, do you? And they put their head out and go, yeah, love them. Can you tell me, what do you reckon the most important 10 things are to know about a car to keep it safe on the road? They can't wait to tell you. They will pin you to the wall to share their knowledge. It's just what humans are like. If they know something, if you indicate to someone that you don't know something, and it's a topic that they know about, they will drill you with everything they know. So people aren't going to go, I'm not going to tell you how to keep your car safe. People can't wait to impart their knowledge. So just, and again, I beg people, I know I've already said it, but I think to say it twice would make sense. Rather than throw your hands in the air and go, I don't know how to do this. Honestly, if you know how to take a bath or cook pasta, you can learn the basics of how to keep a car safe.
I'm not good with pasta, but I can take a bath. Right,
listen. Put the pasta in the bath.
That's right. No one should be subjected to that. Has it ever happened to you, my friend, where you've overlooked something just in your busy life, or maybe when you were younger and you were learning, perhaps maybe you didn't get to something and you should have, and, you know, with that simple maintenance, and then something happened?
It's funny you ask, mate. I had a Pajero. It was a company car years ago. They've got alloy heads. That becomes important in a minute. I'm very good at checking. I do check my gauges. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I'll turn the soil one more time. The gauges do warn you now. Cars are great at letting you know. If you have an EH Holden, it only has one red light, and that red light is everything's gone to shit light. That tells you too late, it's overheated, just thought I'd let you know. And you go, you could have told me that 10 minutes ago. You didn't need to tell me that now because the entire car smells like I'm inside a sauna and someone's smoking rubber. But that's okay. That's all right. But cars now let you know everything right when you need to know it. But, yeah, I had a car and I do check the gauges often, but I was a bit late to check the gauge and it got a little bit, it overheated a little bit, and then the temperature started to come down, 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 and I went, oh, there you go, it's fine. Mm. But, of course, if cars are hot, they don't magically start to cool themselves down. And I thought it was great, and it got lower and lower and lower, and I went, oh no, hang on a moment, and I had that little moment where I quickly turned on the heater to see if any heat was coming out. And, you know, a car that was just hot that I'd been driving for an hour, the air should be hot, and there was cold air coming out, and I'd realised I'd run the thing dry of water. It got to the point where, you know, if there's no water in the kettle, it won't steam. All of a sudden, the thing coughed and sputtered, and I had to pull over halfway between Melbourne and Geelong, and I'd completely fried the engine. And alloy heads, so they warped, so it was a whole engine rebuild.
The bottom line here is that is expensive.
Oh, so it was so expensive. And it was, I was too late to look at the gauges and then I wasn't paying attention to them. And again, it's one of those things, if the car is making noise, I had a lady come to do an interview with me once, and she, the poor thing, she was worried about being late for me, which she didn't have to. I would have waited an hour or 2 hours for her. She's a fantastic human being, but she was worried she was going to put me out, which was, and she could have rung me, but she said, oh, I didn't want to bother you with that either. But she heard a noise in her car and just decided to keep driving because she didn't want to be late. And I had to say to her, you know, it's better to be late than dead on arrival. Don't ignore those noises. Now, lucky for her, it was just the front fairing. But her front spoiler, she hit a pothole and dislodged her front spoiler, front bar, which had then kind of gone under the car, which then scratched the edge of a tyre and pulled it further off than it had to be. If she'd have got out and had a look at it, she could have honestly stuck it up with a bit of table, dare I say, get, you know, the old stocking used to be the answer, tie it onto the bonnet logo, you know what I mean? What, she could have got it up, but she ended up, it sliced through part of the tyre, and but she was just in a rush to get where she was going, and I'm like, again, don't ignore those noises. But, again, I'm guilty of it because I did it. I hadn't put enough water in it. It had got low on water. I had, you know, had a busy life at that point. So I'm guilty of the sins that I'm, you know, I'm confessing that I'm guilty of these sins. So give me 4 Hail Marys, another 2 litres of water, and I'll beg for forgiveness. But it cost, this was, that was 25 years ago, and that, I'll never forget, the engine rebuild was $6,000, and I swear to God, I'm not sure the car was worth $6,000.
Wow.
But, of course, I had to get it done because it then wasn't a car if it didn't have an engine. It was a heap of metal strapped to 4 wheels. Mm. And, you know, whether I wanted to sell it or keep it, either way, I had to fix the engine.
I'm grateful for your sharing because it just illustrates the point of the pod that things, if you don't do something, can get away from you and become more costly or even more dangerous. If that wheel, in the case of Sam, had hit a human being on the side of the road, I mean, it could have been devastating. So let's go back to Sam. He said he generally considers himself a pretty safe driver that does generally look after a vehicle. And I think for Sam, there's, despite that, still some learnings from that day.
So I'd say this overall experience hasn't necessarily changed my attitude because my attitude was already go to the experts. It's reinforced it very, 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 very much. This wasn't my car. It has also probably reinforced my attitude to make sure that my friends know what they're doing with their car in case I'm going to be in it. If you're a mechanic yourself, it's totally fine to do it yourself. If you're not, I reckon you go with a service provider to save your life.
So let's get some key messages to wrap this up.
Tyres, tyres, tyres. So we'll say it a third time. Tyres, tyres, tyres. It's the only thing that's in contact with the road. Not the doors, not the glove box, not the stereo. The air conditioner doesn't stick you to the road. Unfortunately, you can't run the fans backward and have the car suck to the road like some amazing cars out there do these days. Some of hypercars, but the thing is, the only thing in contact with the road is tyres. So if everyone said, okay, I only want to walk away from this program with one idea, I would say it's tyres. And then when you go tyres, if you want to remember one point A, it's tyres and tyre pressures and first grip level, so make sure the tread's not done. The other thing is making sure you're getting in a car that is safe as well. Make sure the person that's driving that car has a well-working mind as well. Even a very well-maintained car in the wrong hands can be dangerous all over again.
And for me, I think if we've got mums and dads that will be listening to the podcast that have got their young ones that are perhaps about to hit the road, if you can, show them a few fundamentals about keeping those wheel nuts tight, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, looking for oil leaks and water leaks. And don't just, when they show you around the engine area, just be conscious when a car is hot, don't go unscrewing caps and things where hot water could scald you, for example, but just having a rough idea where things are so that you know where a particular water level is low. If it's low when you look at it, okay, that might need some attention. It might need a bit of love from the mechanic.
And little noises can become very expensive. That's the other thing too. With our caller we heard and thank goodness he was willing to be honest, heard a noise 45 minutes into their journey and thought, look, we'll just keep pressing on. Little noises can become big noises without your permission, and they can become massive invoices without your permission. So noises can become expensive, but the other one is a vibration in your hand. They're the ones to pay a lot of attention to, because I can't help but think when that wheel started to get loose, when those nuts started to shear or the stud started to shear, that there would have been a vibration through the wheel. If you're feeling it in the steering wheel, it's probably the front end, and that's the steering bit. I mean, if your bum feels something a bit weird and the back tire comes off, it's never as bad as the front, but if you feel a vibration in the steering wheel, it is so worth pulling over and checking what's going on. Even if you don't know how a car works, if you've got a family in that car, it's worth checking whether all the nuts are tight, if the wheels are inflated. And even if you don't know how a car works, it is sure as heck worth getting out of the car and having a look if something is loose, if something is rattling, if something is missing, if you see a bare bit of thread where there should be a nut thing on it, then that's worth investigating. But if the wheel is all of a sudden vibrating in your hands, that's time to pull over. Don't push through that.
And a nice brake pedal, one where the pedal's not going to the floor, which can suggest that it may have a braking issue of some kind. We always want to have a good pedal for an emergency stop. And Shane, why I'm going in that direction, you know about driving trucks and how much harder it is to pull up a truck. So we want our young drivers to have a car that is able to be stopped the right way, particularly because for a truckie, that can be compounded if you're in all sorts of trouble, can't it?
Yeah, if you see a gap in front of a truck, it's not a space, it's their braking space. And so if you get in there, the only thing they're going to brake is you. Like, all the distance in front of them is the distance they're expecting to use to stop. And brakes are another great one too. Oh, smells are our friend. Believe it or not, I know a little bit about poop because I'm the guy that did the film Kenny. So it's going to sound like a weird analogy, but the reason poop stinks is whoever it was that invented this world wanted us to stay away from it. They didn't want it to happen. They didn't want you to go to poop in the kitchen. They didn't want you to poop near food. So believe it or not, smells are there for a really good reason. Rotting flesh, if you've got a wound, it stinks. If you smell, you need a wash. So smells are our friends. They are our own warning sign. And believe it or not, smells in cars are a great warning. And if you smell some weird, burning, metally smell, that's probably brakes. So if you smell something, that's time to pull over. I've been, with trucks, there's a thing called brake fade. If people don't know what that means, it means your brakes stop working well. And if you push that too far, your brakes just stop working. And I have been down a hill in a Kia Carnival with a car, 8 people my size, because we went to see Elton John. I just had the car serviced and the brake pads they put in weren't quite up to standard, but they would have worked. But halfway down a hill with 8 of us coming down Mount Macedon Road, I smelled something, and smells are your friend. They are telling you something's wrong. So if it's a bad smell, if it smells like roses, it's great. You're on a great date. Good luck. But if it's a bad smell, that's trying to tell you something. Again, pay attention to those. It's either burning oil, it's an overheated engine, or if it's brakes, you definitely want to pull over. And I've been in a bus going down a hill where they stayed on the brakes too long, and I said to the driver, I think we should pull over. I think I'm smelling brakes. And he said, do you think so? They seem to be working fine. I said, I think we should pull over. Pulled over. As soon as we stopped, smoke come out of the rear end of the bus and everyone's like, oh my God, thank God you smelled it. So pay attention to the smells. If it doesn't smell right, it's probably not right. Something's about to go pop, bang, whiz, pull over.
Well done, mate. They're great takeaways to wrap this up on. And I think it also reminds us too about not being afraid to tell our mates to stop if something like that is going on. If you're riding in the car with them, speak up. Don't be afraid to do that and use good quality parts. That's the other thing too. If you've got a good repairer, but you're doing a little bit of maintenance and you've been shown by someone who knows what they're doing, just make sure you use good, authorised, proper parts on your car too. Thank you for sharing a bit of your real world experience around cars and hopefully some of our listeners have got some great takeaways from that today.
Pleasure. It's great to be on and great to see you both. Thanks for listening and I'll see you on the road, folks.
On the next episode of Keep Your Wheels On, how bad decisions can really cause trouble.
In the crash, I sustained an acquired brain injury and I would have hit the left-hand side of my head on the inside of the passenger headrest.
And we'll also be joined by someone who's got some great advice about making good decisions.
If we can make the right choices to develop the right mindset, I know that I can and I know that anyone listening can do anything that they want in life.
I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is Keep Your Wheels On. Keep Your Wheels On is a listener production brought to you in partnership with My Drive School. Hosted by me, Greg Rust, and Lisa Scaife. Audio production by Kelly Fulston. And executive producer is Todd Stevens.
The Keep Your Wheels On podcast was funded by the Australian Government.
Listener.